back. We are back with another ungroundable episode here with Lisa Schwartz and
Mom
Schwartz. And we're so excited because today, not only do we have a fantastic actor, writer, producer, content creator, and general all-around great guy.
True.
But a dear friend of ours who we've known for a really long time. And so it's going to be fun to have him here today to grill him and get out all the stuff that we don't know about him.
Like to get it out of him.
Yeah, because you're kind of like a second mom to him.
I am.
Yeah, this is going to be, you got to really lay down the gauntlet.
Tell me the mom stories now.
Yeah, and today we're talking about jackass style pranks and joining a cult. So join us, won't you? Let's do this.
If your parents only knew of the shit you used to do, you'd be grounded for a long, long time.
Yes! Welcome to our podcast.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Two of my favorite people.
I was going to say, for people that don't know, we have all been longtime friends, family friends for very long time. We've known Luke since he was a wee boy of 18.
Gosh.
I don't know. How old were we?
It was probably 23. I actually recently remembered that it was 2006. And so 23.
Oh, wow.
It was 2006?
2006.
Jeez
Louise. Time flies when you're having fun.
Yeah, that was right out of college. We met for the first time in a play.
Is that how you met? In a play?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the first thing listed on your resume. You're still very proud of that moment.
What resume?
I don't know. I got a bio sent to me, which is real silly to get a bio about your friend. It's very fun, though. I'm very proud of you. And like one of the first things listed was this play that we did together.
There is no world where a bio that came from anyone a part of my team sent a bio that lists the playground.
Let me read it to you.
You got sent misinformation. Somebody did a bad Google.
In Los Angeles, Barnett landed a role in a play about homeless youth called The Playground. According to Barnett, the production opened doors for him both as an actor and as an advocate for social justice. And to be Lisa's dear friend
This must be somebody who went on like Wikipedia and got that. Something
I remember
that have no context of.
We have people watching your every move.
Yeah, got it. Those people are going to the 2006 world. They're like, this is what
hovering,
this guest wants to talk
over
about.
Over the house with a helicopter.
Yeah.
It was in a drone. It was
in a drone. Following your every move. Yeah,
I always go into meetings and I'm like, did you guys back in 2006 see a play called The Playground? Because that's what I want to talk about today.
It's really the height of your career. Every other amazing thing you've done include...
held 49 people.
Oh my God. Well, we're so happy to have you. And we're really happy to like dive into... Obviously, we've known you forever, but we haven't known you forever, ever. And so today we're here talking about the before us times.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, I love it.
When you got yourself into some trouble. Can you sort of, before we dive into those like actual stories, I think your upbringing is like really interesting, especially for two gals from Los Angeles. It's a very different lifestyle that you grew up in. So can you share a little bit about your family and how you grew up and that whole shebang?
Yeah, I grew up in mainly right outside of Washington, D.C., my mom taught kindergarten, who I was very, very close with my whole life. And my dad was what you would call an interim pastor, which means that he would basically, he wanted to be a pastor his whole life. And he, at certain points, surely was a full-time pastor. But basically when I was born, got a job that could more pay the bills. And so he drove a bread truck. And then he would be an interim pastor, which is like if a pastor would go on paternity leave or whatever, they needed 3 weeks off, my dad would like fill in for them.
Like so a substitute.
Exactly. So he would basically be a substitute pastor and then drove a bread truck at like 4 a.m. And that
What was the bread truck? What was it called or the name of the company? Do you remember?
It was called Schmidt Baking Company. It was kind of like a Wonder Bread of sorts where they would just have various brands of bread products that my dad would take into grocery stores.
And would he go beep, beep and people would come out of their house or?
No. This wasn't like the 1930s. Yeah, this isn't like the 1800s delivering milk. This was like this was like he's going into like Ralph's type places, you know. My dad would beep beep and fling a loaf of bread at people every morning.
I was thinking when they used to do the donuts and come.
Yeah,
by.
But what? Like, Luke,
no
Luke
one has ever flung donuts at me.
My mom is trying mushrooms for the first time
right now.
He would like bring like he like delivered from the
I got it
you know
okay
yeah, did yeah. you only eat that bread in your house?
We did, and honestly we got like I got every the only perk of that job aside from like paying our mortgage was constant like cinnamon twists, like all the specialty treats. He'd bring home like the extra stuff, which was great. But
beep, kids, the cinnamon twists have arrived.
There was a beep in that.
Every night he would come home, and before he came in, he would beep, and I would run outside and he would throw the cinnamon rolls to me.
See, she was right.
I was right.
But my dad to this day is incredibly religious, incredibly Christian, and so therefore I went to a tiny Christian school that is straight out of the movie Saved. Like, if you ever saw Saved, I don't know if there's ever been a movie that I saw that I was like, this is my school. This is like literally the school I grew up in. So just super evangelical, super 90s youth group, like the whole thing.
Wow.
Oh yeah. Were you in it, the 90s youth group?
I was in it, big time. Oh, for sure. Like every Wednesday, you know, the whole thing. But I was also like a bad kid, youth group kid. So kid that would like, you know, I'd like go to my girlfriend's house and we'd make out before we'd go to youth group, which was like so wrong, you know. And then
awesome, I love that.
Or we would like, you know, there's also a weird thing of that culture where you like become, you're like, for you go through like a phase where you're like a sinner. And then you feel bad and you're like, I got to go back to it. So you go back and you ask Jesus for forgiveness and you get really back into youth group. And then you like, after a few months, you go back to the, you know, the
making
the,
out
to your ways. You go back to making out. Exactly.
To your ways. Did you ever wear a purity ring?
Oh, yeah.
You had one?
What is that?
Can you explain what a purity
what
ring
is? That?
I sure can, my friend. there was a thing. Hold on. It was called, there's a thing with the purity ring that had a name, but the long...
Oh, you had to wear it? Yeah, but it was... to be a virgin? Was that the deal?
It was called something, but really for the most part, what it was is your parents would... If you wanted to sign up for this, which was basically like a commitment that you would not have sex before you got married, then they would buy you a ring. So I got like ninth grade, 10th grade, I signed up for it and they bought me this like little silver ring that was basically your commitment to Jesus that you wouldn't have sex before you were married.
How would you even know that?
As you can see, I don't have any baggage now. Everything is like totally fine.
Who would do that at that age?
Also, what do you do? Like do you just take off your ring and like gently put it down before the act?
And then put it back on.
Yeah.
Well, it was like...
I'm like holding on to my rings so tight.
It didn't last. I mean, I'll say this. The ring didn't last very long. You know what I mean? Like, and also, I surely felt bad enough that it didn't last long that I probably just took it off after a while. And I was like, I'm terrible
over
Christian.
It.
Yeah.
Got it. Was your mom strict as well and like religious?
Oh, this is the name of it. The name of it, the big trend that happened in the 90s was called True Love Waits. I don't know who started it, but this is where like the big, there was like a few.
This is before
period.
The hashtag, before a hashtag existed.
This before hashtag existed.
Yeah,
there was
it would have been.
It would have been.
There was a trend in the 90s, kind of the same time as like the WWJD bracelets. Do you remember that at all?
Yes,
I remember that.
This was called True Love Waits, and people would sign up for this, and they probably made a bazillion dollars off of kids and their parents buying these cheap silver rings and promising Jesus they wouldn't like, you know, do the deed. It's great times.
True love. Whoa. I'm writing this down.
True love
for
waits
my future children.
Oh, and then what about your mom?
So and my mom was religious in the sense of like, my mom was definitely a Christian and whatnot, but my mom was definitely not nearly as strict as my dad. And surely if my mom passed away when I was 17 in high school. And so if she was alive today, would definitely be, if she would, I don't know, I kind of doubt she'd be religious at all at this point, but if she was, she would have been one of the like good ones. You know what I mean? Like my mom was always, I don't know. My mom met my dad when she was at kind of a very rough place in her life. And part of me really feels like his beliefs aside, it was kind of like, cool, this is a safe haven. This is like a decent person that's going to like help take care of my family and whatnot. And, and maybe looked past some of the like, can women wear pants sort of like things that he probably had in the 70s as a crazy religious person.
Totally.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Interesting. That's giving me like Audrey and Seymour vibes. Do you know what I mean?
Sure, sure. We're musical theater nerds.
Yeah. I got it.
It comes back to theater like always.
Always.
Yeah.
Well, this is certainly dedicated to your parents. I'm assuming these stories you're going to share with us are stories you did not ever tell your parents and would never probably tell your dad.
Would never. Yeah. And I doubt he's going to listen to this podcast. I will say my sister, who I am close with and love dearly, Amy.
Love your sister.
Yeah, she's great. She's 10 years older than me. And I am curious. I highly doubt she knows any of these stories and will probably listen to this.
All right.
Speaking of you this week, my sister's coming out here on Monday to go to the Harry Styles concert.
Oh,
wait, did you hear that Harry got sick?
No.
She needs to check in on this. Everyone stop what you're doing right now.
Stop the presses. My sister's, I gotta call her right now.
She needs to know this, but I think he'll be better by then.
He got sick with what? Yeah.
Well, they like that
cancer.
Night when we went to see.
Oh my god!
You heard it here first. Luke, you are giving us great clickbait. This is the clickbait.
The Style Army, Luke Barnett.
The Style Army. Yeah, he had like a very hoarse voice when we were there, and I was like, something isn't right. And sure enough, an article came out today that the whole crew got sick. But I feel like those people are so rich that they have the super.
Medicine. Yeah. Somebody's given that dude a shot in his neck and he's never going to get sick again, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Or intravenous something.
Wait, who is she? Are you going with her?
No. Now, it's funny. Now I'm actually looking at tickets to see if I could go to the same night, even if we didn't have seats together, because now I kind of want to go now that I'm seeing so many friends go. But at the time, she has one friend out here who I think is also a huge fan. Aww. And so when she asked me, because she got two tickets, I was like, if you've got a close friend that like loves Harry Styles, like I'm not your guy, you know?
Yeah. Well, we have boas we could give her.
Yeah, if she needs a boa, we definitely have those
I'll let her know.
Ready to go. Okay, great. So this is going out to her. And may she be able to see Harry Styles, because it was a spiritual experience.
I heard, man. Looks amazing.
When you texted me yesterday being like, so I don't know what kind of stories like to tell us. And I kind of was like, go for it. Anything you have. My feeling is it wasn't that you didn't have stories. It's that you have too many stories.
Oh, I was a disaster.
Hidden, you know, hidden stories. Let's hear the disasters.
Yeah. I can't tell from who I ended up being today, but yeah, I was a monster as a high schooler. No, I was a fun kid, but I definitely was probably a too fun kid. I don't know. I guess, that's where my brain went. And also, I also have a 3-year-old daughter that I had to gauge of like, what's she going to listen to? But I'm not going to, don't get me wrong, I'm not going to hide. You know what I mean? Like,
more troublesome is what trouble is she going to get
into
down the line. But for now, we'll just make her proud of all your poor decisions.
Yeah. I mean, my biggest thing from high school, and I'm sure there's other stuff, but the thing I figured I would get off my chest right off the bat is...
Let it out.
I am so glad that we did not grow up in a time where everything we did could potentially be on social media or filmed.
My God.
Like, honestly, part of me thinks that kids are going to be a slightly better. I mean, I've seen Euphoria, so maybe not. But, like, you know, hopefully it's like there's an awareness of my choice is being videotaped right now.
Yes.
You know?
Although when you see things that are posted and you're like, how did they not think that this was gonna
happen,
hit the internet. Right. Like, then at that point, it's their fault. But I agree
That's
with
true.
You.
That's true. Yeah. Because where I'm going with that is my friends and I, who Lisa, you know, some of my friends, we were just the epitome of pranksters. Like, pranks though, that like now in hindsight, I'm like, we're terrible people. Like, this was not great. You know what I mean? Like,
was this before Jackass, or were you guys like,
oh, way before Jackass. Yeah. And it wasn't less Jackass in the sense of like less jumping off a roof, you know, breaking our legs, and more just like fucking with people. You know what I mean? Like, and it would start off like relatively minor stuff. Like, I remember like one of the earlier pranks we did would be, we went over to this construction site and basically stole these three big lights. Then we brought them over to our other friend's house at like 1 a.m. and set them all up outside of his bedroom.
She loves this.
Windows. And then we had it all set up. And then on like the count of three, we plugged these three lights in. And his bedroom that he was sleeping in was like, boom, the sun hit him like a UFO.
I like that.
And this
one
was like, you know, early, like, this was like, this isn't hurting anybody, but it's hilarious watching this guy like raise up out of bed.
Yeah.
We did steal. That's true. That's true. Most of these are in some way illegal, I will preface.
Boys do the weirdest things.
I know.
It's such a guy thing. It's like, what made you think of that?
Did he freak out? Do you have a memory?
Oh my God, totally freaked out. Like, my only memory is like him popping up out of bed. It's like the only, I don't remember like what happened after. I just remember like popping out of bed, his whole room as lit up as it can human be. But this evolved. And so we kept doing these things where we would like sneak out at night, and we'd sneak out of my mom had converted our garage into like a big bedroom for me. And so we'd always sneak out. So we'd sneak out of my house, and then we go to these pranks. And the other thing that we would do a lot of, the next evolution of this, which is slightly more terrible, would be we would get a bunch of water balloons, and then we would sit on the side of the road in the bushes and for the freeway, and we would just toss water balloons at cars as they passed. And then it would hit them and they'd freak out, obviously. But where this got, now that I'm thinking back on it, this is fucking terrible. And granted, this is like slightly smaller streets. This isn't LA. You know what I mean? We'd go to my friend Justin's neighborhood in the middle of the woods sort of place. But we would do the same thing with packets of yogurt and pudding.
Ooh.
But then it would hit their windshield, and their immediate reaction is to put the windshield wipers on, and it would smear. And then they would just like have to pull over to the side of the road real quick. And in hindsight, as a dad, as a driver, this is terrible. This is like a terrible
murder.
It's murder. This is like terrible, terrible stuff.
Oh my God. Did you ever get caught doing that?
Never, ever got caught. But the last evolution of these specific kinds of pranks is to this day my favorite. Is after the Blair Witch Project came out, it was around that time, maybe even before, but my friend Justin lived in the middle of nothing but cornfields. So he had this neighborhood next to it was all these cornfields, and then just lots of like a two-lane road sort of thing. And we decided that we were going to go out at probably 2-3 a.m. out to this cornfield. And we basically spent 30 minutes taking all these corn stalks, pulling them out, and making corn men. Ooh. And so we'd have these corn men that were just like two pieces of corn, one across, like one up, that just looked like scary figures of corn. And we set these things, we set like a dozen of them up in the, all through this, across this road. And then people would be driving home or whatever at 3 a.m. in the middle of nowhere. And they would just come up what was like a horror movie of these like 12 corn men, and the reactions would be so varying. Like, you'd have somebody that would just kind of pull up and then just like stare at it for a second, and then just kind of like do a 3-point turn and like turn around and like go back the other way. You'd have somebody freak the fuck out and like just slam it in reverse and hit the gas and just bang, go back as if they'd like come into a nightmare.
Yeah, that's some witchcraft.
Yeah.
Like, it was just like the best night of pranks I've ever had.
I feel nobody. Like, What an artist. That's like an elevated prank. Like,
we got real into it.
Yeah.
I was like, we got real into it.
Did you piss in the water balloon and throw it? You're like, no, we crafted a perfectly.
and the last one was not a Field of Dreams.
I was like, I once took a dump in a, well, a friend of mine, he thought it would be funny to like take a dump in, I never told you this, in like a Pyrex or something. So someone pooped, I couldn't do it because I have poop anxiety. There's no way I'm about to like poop on demand. But one of our friends took a poop in a plastic, you know, like, and we put it in someone's mailbox, which I think that's like hardcore.
That's terrible.
Can I go to jail for that? No.
I mean, the statute of limitations is definitely passed.
Okay. So I thought you were on that level, but no, you were making full on, like, very cool, artsy. I am not surprised.
We would do some crazy pranks. Yeah, and then, don't get me wrong, we did the dumbass stuff, too. I remember, like, going to, like, church youth conference, like, a week that you would go on, and we found the breakers that connected to the, called? What are the chaperones? Not the chaperones, but, like, the adults, the grown-ups' rooms. Yes. And we would just flick them off at night. And so their alarms didn't go off in the morning because this was before people had like phone alarms.
That's great.
And so like 4 days in a row, all of our teachers or youth pastors or whatever are like wandering in like unshowered. Like, where are we? What's happening? Because we like hit the breakers. Just like just stupid pranks.
Oh my God,
we were just pranksters,
so smart.
Man. We were just pranksters.
Yeah, but like, I feel like you're an elevated prankster. Seriously, we've had a lot of good pranks on this, but nothing as highbrow as yours.
Well, he didn't poop in a container.
He did not poop in a container. You ever poop in a container?
I haven't pooped in a container. I'm sure that I've pooped somewhere that I shouldn't have pooped, but and probably ruined someone's day.
It's almost time. We're almost at the age where we have to poop and send it off in a box to make sure that we're okay.
Oh, I've done that.
Cologuard. Oh, this is not sponsored by Cologuard, but yeah, there's nothing like
I've done that.
You have? Oh, see, you have
pooped in a box. I like that your mom just said, I've done that.
Oh, yeah. Done that.
With age comes more
fun.
Yeah.
What else you got for us? Thank you for getting that off your chest. I'm
proud of you.
Yeah, I feel
better now.
Yeah. I mean, next one, I went back and forth on if I should tell this story, but you know what? Why not? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I'm 39 years old.
You're about to poop in a box. It's time.
Yeah, it's
time. I heard Tanner's story about if when you asked him if he'd been arrested before.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
And so I'm going to say no, but I have had a very interesting interaction with the FBI.
FBI.
That was not where I thought this was going.
And that is, and I'm trying to remember, this is a pretty blurry story just because it's over 20 years ago, but I had a high school girlfriend who I liked very much. And there was a time period where you guys don't have this in LA either, but it snowed. And so we had snow days, you know what I mean? Like we were off school for snow. If I remember correctly, her mom was out of town and her dad still had to work. So I then found out, you know, we found out that like my high school girlfriend is going to be like, we're going to have the house to herself for like 2 or 3 days, whatever.
And you're
going
to take the ring off.
Yeah, the ring is coming off.
The ring is off.
So I kind of made a ritual of it. I took the ring off in the mirror. I like prayed real quick. No, I'm just kidding. No, but sure. Without getting into details, we had decided that this was a great opportunity for us to have fun in a place that wasn't like a parked car somewhere.
And great.
So this for us is like the dream, you know.
Sure.
And all I'll say is for a couple of days, they kind of lived in a rural area too. And so what I would do is I would drive behind their house. They had like a big property. I would park my car behind this big fence that lined like the whole suburb.
What kind of car?
It was a 1995 Mercury Tracer Cranberry, and I'll up it. I added like 12-inch speakers, fake hubcaps.
Of course you did.
I had the fake hubcaps that looked like spinners, tinted windows.
Of course.
And it was boom, ba boom, ba
boom. I feel like whenever Luke does anything, it's always with style. Yeah. Everything's personalized and stylized.
Yeah,
so I had to ask.
You know, I was just this like 120-pound little dude like blasting Bone Thugs and Harmony, pulling up behind this house with my like huge-ass double extra large sweatpants.
Yes. Yes.
Anyway, so I park behind this house and I have to climb this fence. So I climb this like 6-foot fence, jump over the fence. It's all snowing everywhere. I hike through the backyard, like all the way up to the house.
You really liked her.
Yeah, we have a great time. Before her dad could come home, I leave, hike back to my car, climb over this fence.
How long of a good time? Two minutes? Good time?
hey, not even, but at least a 4-hour period. I don't know, maybe a lot. You know what I mean? But the best part of this is, like, you know, the third day happens, we do this, and I'm walking out of this house, trudging through the backyard, probably a huge smile on my face, like this has just been the greatest 3 days. We're never going to get caught for this. This is, like, the dream, you know? And all of a sudden, the next day, on Friday, her mom comes back, her dad's home from work, and I get this phone call from my girlfriend who's bawling, crying. And she's like, you have to come over here right now. My parents want to talk to you. And I'm like, God, like someone has busted us. Like, how did this happen?
Horrifying.
Now, I'm thinking in my mind that her dad had come home like from the front or something and knew. I don't know what's happening here. She's crying. She's clearly in the same room as her parents, so she's not telling me anything. She's just like, you have to come over here right now. Parents are furious. They want to talk to you.
Oh, no.
I come all the way in and like I can just walk in and I'm about to like cry just based off of the room. You know what I mean? Like everyone is terrible attention. Situation here. And when I walk into their living room, laid out on the like coffee table this huge manila envelope, like a big professional envelope. And what's opened and scattered all around this table is all these black and white professional photos that are of a close-up of my license plate.
No.
There's a close-up of footprints in the snow.
No.
There's pictures of me climbing the fence. There's pictures of me like walking through the yard smiling. There's all these things. And it turns out her neighbors are in the FBI and didn't know what was happening. But before calling her dad, they took pictures and like straight up, honestly, it looked like they'd found the Zodiac killer. And they were like, you know, like it was like, her mom is in this room. It's like the Charlie Day meme that everybody uses of like pointing to this board. Like they've connected the dots that her boyfriend has come over, done bad things and left.
Terrible. God,
the whole
you can't
time
deny
I'm just
that,
like,
right?
I'm just like, and to their credit, and again, my memory's super blurry here, but I cried, I felt terrible, you know, all these things, and I don't think they ever told my parents. Like, I basically begged them, like, these things, and they were like, they kind of like kept it in the scenario from what I remember. Maybe I'm wrong there and I just don't have a memory of me also getting punished and I've like blacked that out of my brain.
Were they Christian too, her family?
She went to my school, so probably, but I don't remember them being like religious in the way that I know they weren't religious in the way that my parents were, if that makes sense.
Wow.
That is so horrifying.
I know. Crazy, right?
I wish that you could have taken some of those pictures, though, back with you. Like, how
what
funny
I, what I would give right now to have a picture of 16-year-old Luke in, like, big-ass sweatpants, like he thought he was, like, Eminem, like, climbing some fence to touch boobs, you know?
Oh, my God. That's, like, every child's nightmare.
For sure.
You couldn't have come up with a better...
Right.
We've talked about this several times with different people. I think it's so hard now with Ring cameras and stuff. Like, I don't know how kids are getting away with this
anything.
Stuff now.
Yeah. Or isn't there a tracker thing on the phone?
Yeah, there's trackers. There's
parents track their kids every place they go.
But that's dramatic.
That's classic.
It was crazy. It was wild.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
And you what did you say?
Like, haven't mentioned? You didn't have an FBI catch you sneaking into your boyfriend's house to...
Well, no,
I got a question for Jen.
Uh-oh.
Did you ever have a moment with Lisa where you were like, I'm aware that my daughter was doing something inappropriate with a boy in my house?
Never.
Never.
Luke, I don't think I ever was, sadly. Although I would like to take this moment. our first episode, I was like, oh, I never had a boyfriend in high school or whatever. I get this mysterious text the other day from a mysterious number that was like, I'm offended that you said you didn't have a boyfriend in high school.
It turns out
it was my friend Jeff, who I guess we never established that we were boyfriend and girlfriend. He went to Rachel's school.
Oh,
your wife might know him. They might have been in the same class.
Oh, what's his last name?
Wiener.
Okay.
Jeff Wiener, shout out to you. I think the last name has changed since, and he has three kids. But I did want to apologize to him because I would go over to his house in Encino, but not to our house. So
okay.
Hilarious.
Didn't know.
But my mom didn't know.
Didn't know.
Did you ever steal booze from your parents? Did your parents drink?
My parents did not drink. The first time I ever drank booze was the night before we left for a church conference, actually, though. And I have a vivid memory of my friend John's cousin Danny. Shout out to my friend Danny Hummel, who bought us
always
Jack
somebody
Daniel's wine coolers. Do you remember those? Yeah, like little bottles of like down home punch and stuff. Do you remember those?
Yeah, I think around the Smirnoff times, right?
Yeah, it was right before Smirnoff Ice came out, but they would be these little bottles, not mini bottles, but they were like small bottles of Jack Daniel's wine coolers. He bought four of us total, four of us were going to try alcohol for the first time. He bought us 2 4 packs of these little wine coolers, and we were loaded after two of them, and then had to wake up and go to church conference, which was great.
Oh, the worst.
Uh-huh. Yeah, your parents never did a, like, if you want to try it with us.
They didn't drink. Yeah, they didn't drink. They didn't drink at all. But I actually, that does lead me to my last story that I thought of, which is, and I'm curious what your experience was with this, Lisa and Jen, is early smoking. You know what I mean? Like, obviously now we're in a world where you can go buy like, pot pizza from the Apple store looking place. You know what I mean? But like in the day, this was like not a thing. And so the first time we ever tried anything like that, we didn't have access to weed, had no idea where to get weed. I was probably in the...
Or grass, as mom...
Grass. Grass.
Yeah, exactly. Well, so we didn't have any idea where to get any of that stuff. So I have a vivid memory of me and my friend Jeff Dodson...
Who is now a dad of two?
He's now a dad of two.
Oh my God.
Instead of weed, we were like, let's try to smoke something. You know what I mean? We didn't have cigarettes or anything. We were like, we're going to try to smoke something. And so we took the Garfield memo pads that my mom had gotten me for like seventh grade. And then I went up to the kitchen after they went to bed, and I snuck out a thing of Lipton's iced tea. I cut it open and like poured the Lipton's, and we like figured out how to like roll this iced tea joint, basically. And we went out to my treehouse, and we didn't have a lighter because my parents didn't smoke, so we had like kitchen matches, and we're out there like... kitchen matches lighting iced tea that we smoked.
So scary.
And we did this for like months. We thought it was like so cool to like go up and smoke our like tea joints as a way to like try smoking something, which then led to the first time we ever tried to get marijuana.
Yeah. The amount of chemicals from the Garfield memo pad alone. Now it makes sense. I know. I guess like parents are so worried about their kids and all, like, but like for the most part, we all turned out okay.
Yeah, here you are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a few screws loose, but
sure.
With all of us,
could have been worse. Could have been worse.
Someone else, and maybe it was Jeff, was saying like they try to smoke oregano or like I think kids are curious about smoking.
Sure.
Did you ever smoke fake weed?
Not fake weed, but real cigarettes. Like I tried, but I didn't it.
Yeah, I know. Did you smoke cigarettes, Luke?
No, not really. Not. Yeah. I mean, I went through like a slight phase in my early 20s where I would be the like, oh, I'm drinking, I'm gonna go borrow one from somebody. But I never went through like a real smoker phase. Yeah. The first time we ever tried cigarettes, this is honestly in hindsight, this is way more dangerous and gross than the Garfield memo pads.
Yeah.
The first time we ever tried cigarettes, we would go behind a store and find cigarette butts.
No.
And then we would light.
No.
We would light the whatever the remainder was as a way to try a cigarette.
Scrappy.
Oh, God.
Scrappy.
That's terrible. It's terrible.
That's pretty bad.
That's pretty bad. That's pretty gross.
And you don't have any like major diseases that you're willing to share.
Not that I can legally say on this podcast.
Okay, fair enough.
And then what was your first time? Because I'll say this. My first time smoking what I thought was marijuana was also kind of funny because, again, had never done this. This is before social media, so really don't even know what it looks like aside from TV or magazines or something. And I remember I found out that the guy at our school to buy weed from is Danny Middledorf. And it would be like, got to go to Danny Middledorf. And we go to Danny Middledorf and we're like, we want $5 worth of weed. And he's like, all right, you want a nickel bag? Meet me outside of school, 3:15, yada, yada. So me and Jeff go do this drug deal.
Same story for everyone.
Where we buy a nickel bag of marijuana. But the best part is we put it in our pocket. I'm so nervous. I'm like freaking out. We take our BMX bikes. We ride it to like our cool like area that we always ride our bikes to, kind of outside the woods. And we get it out. And in hindsight, now as someone who knows what marijuana looks like, this man gave us dried up broccoli. The amount he gave us for $5 would have cost $100. It was like big ass chunks, like a sack of weed that he gave us for $5. And we smoked it and we were like, man, are you feeling anything? Are you feeling anything? He's not feeling anything. I'm not feeling anything. And we're like, I'm not feeling anything. Let's just like, we'll go back. And as we're on our BMX bikes riding back, we run into my mom and sister. Oh. And they're on a walk like through our neighborhood. And so I'm sitting there and I'm like, they're going to know that we're high. They're going to totally know that we're high. But really, we're not even high. Like, we just smoked a bunch of dried up broccoli because this is definitely not marijuana.
But you're healthy as shit.
If anything, I inhaled the thing that my mom had wanted me to eat for 17 years. Yeah.
But
a filleted broccoli.
You know what? Dehydrated broccoli is very expensive at Whole Foods. You got a great deal.
Yeah. The funniest part is that I think after that, I didn't smoke proper pot for like 2 years because it didn't do anything. I was like, I was okay. It wasn't worth the like risk. Yeah. And then like, I remember the first time I really got high, shout out to Adam Dickerson, that I was like in this dude's shed in his backyard. And I was like, oh shit. Oh. Like, this is what it's like.
Before we go on a quick break, I was trying to think, is there anything that you and I have obviously gotten ourselves into many sticky situations, but I'm wondering if there's anything that comes to mind that we could tell mom.
Oh yeah, tell me.
That we'd be willing to share, because I feel like some of the things we need
what
to
do you mean willing?
We need to you, hold that's close what this to the place, chest.
This is what this is all about.
Well, for you, but for the general public.
What would you mean something that we were involved in together that your mom would not have known about
together.
Sort of thing?
Yeah.
What is something that we did together that your mom would have been like,
I feel like we just did smoked a lot of pot. Like so much.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how far into certain stories to go.
I know. Maybe this is for another day.
Or maybe this is after the break. Let me think for 2 seconds.
Not another day. After the break.
All right. If we come up with them after the break, also after the break, we have some of our listeners submitted stories of things that they've been holding on to all these years as well. So we're going to come back with those stories. And if you guys want to submit your stories for next podcast, head over to ungroundablepodcast.com. We'll be right back with Mr. Luke Burnett. Hey, we just wanted to take a moment to say thank you for being here. It means the world to us. Obviously, we're a new podcast and we're just getting ramped up and started. So taking the time to favorite the video on YouTube and leave comments on wherever you listen to your podcast, rate us, it makes a big difference. Am I right, babe?
And be nice about it.
And be nice about her, or she's going to come after you. Also, like I just said, but I'm going to say it again, if you do want to share your stories, head over to ungroundablepodcast.com. We are loving reading them. You guys are wild and crazy, and I would expect nothing less of you. Also, hi, we're over on Patreon. We're having a good old party, and guess what, Mom?
What?
We're doing our very first live over there. We'll be answering questions from our Patreon members.
I can't wait. How fun.
I know, and that is going to be on December 9th at 4:30 Pacific Standard Time.
I'll be
which
here.
Is almost like happy hour time. So obviously cocktails will be served. So make sure you head over to our patreon.com/ungroundable podcast to join the party. We also have exclusive content over there and a whole nother show that I'm doing with Jeff called Sidebar, which also involves cocktails. Wow. There are patterns and there are themes. And that's just the reality. All right. Time to get back?
Yeah.
Let's get back to Lukey Poo. We are back and and we have taken a moment to both agree that it's time to tell Mom what we think happened.
So, Jen, I don't know if you know this. You probably remember the time of our life, but I don't know that you quite realized that your daughter and I were fully in a cult for like a solid portion of our early to mid-20s.
What?
While we were in it, we didn't really realize we were in it.
As most people who get into cults are.
Yeah, true.
Upon further examination, and still till this day, pretty much every time we talk, we're like, remember how we were almost in a cult?
Yeah.
We were in a...
When was that?
Well, the playground, we were in the play that we talked about at the beginning of this that we were in.
Yeah.
In hindsight, it's like all of these people lived in this one house with the director, writer, clearly we learned later on, like had a big Jesus complex and like house. And we were all like, oh, these people are all like following this weird like theater cult leader later on.
And we were all sort of funding this as well.
Yeah, really? We like would invest money into like making short films
projects
and stuff with him.
Wow.
And everybody would like and there's like memories I have in hindsight of whoever would be the other lead actor of his play. He would like the characters in the play became like kind of had a love like situation, like they're it's like all about, you know, homeless youth, which happened to be 98% like good looking LA white kids.
Remember, and he made us diet and everything.
He was like, you gotta go hang out and stuff. He was like super crazy, man, make us hike Runyon all the time and stuff. And then in the play he had like a relationship with this younger kid who had come to the street, and I think in one of the iterations the kid wanted to be a tap dancer or some shit. I just remember this one kid like who was on like a sitcom in the 90s. In the 2000s, like tap dancing across the stage because he like knew how to do it, and the director was like, well, if he knows how to tap dance, maybe that's what your characters did. But the weirdest thing is this director would make whoever played that role like sleep they would like get
they
so
would
into
do
character
overnights.
They would like do overnights in the theater together and like sleep under the fake set bridge together and all this
together.
Stuff. In hindsight, I'm like, this is totally insane. Like,
Yeah. Wow. I mean, there's so much more to the story. And at some point, Luke and I will fully dive in because it's just, it sticks with us after all these years. But we do, in fact, think that we were part of a cult.
How long did this go on? The whole time you were in the show?
Yeah. Or? And then like for a couple years afterwards.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know.
Wow.
So more on that soon. Let's listen to some questions. Okay. So the first submission, I haven't read these yet. I always like to say that up front because I don't know what we're getting ourselves into, but here we go. I was 15 and looking to sow my seed, if you know what I'm saying.
Sow my seed. Jesus.
So there was this friend dating app called Yubo. I'd never heard of that. And basically it was a hookup, but so ridiculously unsafe because if someone I had never even had a phone call with, I just turned up at his place. He was 17. I don't know how he had his own apartment, but anyways, I'm guessing he wasn't 17. There was whipped cream and Twister involved, which was hilarious because I was literally 15. Obviously, I made it out okay. LOL, apart from the mental scars. My gosh.
This is terrifying.
I never heard of that.
My daughter's not getting a phone until she's 30.
I'm always curious talking to parents of our generation as to like what they're gonna do with their kids and how they're gonna handle phones and internet.
Everything. There's much you're gonna have to handle. So much.
Yeah. Oh gosh.
I mean, I love that she's like, he was 17, but he had his own apartment. I'm like, girl, I'm not sure if he was 17 necessarily.
You're going to see him on like Chris Hansen special pretty soon. Was he bald with a beard?
Although I have heard, and we have had submissions before of a lot of people just being like, I just wanted to my first time to like be done with. So I did it with a stranger.
Interesting. Yeah.
Maybe there's a lot of pressure around it.
But I can't stop thinking about Twister and Cool Whip. And
yeah, that sounds
kind of fun.
I mean, at least it sounded like a good time.
I mean, look, I'm not for that story. I think it's kind of scary and negative, but I am going to go to Target on my way home. So
that's right,
and get my own apartment. We do not endorse meeting up with strangers in any sort of a way, but we are glad that you are safe and grateful that you shared that story. And I do appreciate the Twister. I once spent the time to write all the answers to a test in my TI-83 calculator, and nobody was the wiser. Got a 98 on the test. Teacher didn't know. Parents didn't know. I was sneaky and got away with it. Hold on one second. Did I submit this?
Yeah, because you did something.
That's my story.
Oh, yeah. Everybody's got that story. Anybody who had a TI-83 has done that at least once.
I just told you about that, remember?
Yes, I remember.
Because it had this big, big, big cover on it.
TI-83s were known as the cheating calculator.
Oh, yeah. Those things were expensive, too.
Do you remember? Did they still use them now?
I'm sure I did.
Do they still use them now?
Something tells me your brother never did that.
Yeah, I don't think my brother cheated.
Yeah, no way my sister did. My sister was too good of a human being.
But us, too.
If you handed me a TI-83 right now, I couldn't even turn it on.
No way. Too many. I could actually do boobless. Remember how to type in boobless on the calculator?
Yeah,
that was another cult, that thing.
7355.
Yes, that's right, my friend. Yeah, basically like this calculator was so giant and it had a case on it. And so to open it, you take the case, you slide the case all the way off, turn it off and put it on the back. So we would just write in pencil because it like stayed just on the inside. And so then you go,
oh my God.
How teachers weren't aware of that.
Yeah, that is kind of surprising.
Yeah. Were you a cheater, generally speaking, in school?
No, I just didn't get good grades. Like I just, my thing with school was that I was involved in a lot of extracurricular activities that I loved. Like I was in theater and played soccer and in choir, like just all kinds of stuff. But for I saw school in terms of like math class as just, I got to get through this and move on. Like this is how bad of a student I was. There was a moment my senior year where I found out that if I failed, got a zero on every test for the last, whatever it was, 4 weeks, I would still get a C, like I would still pass. And I just never did a single thing. I didn't do anything for the next 4 weeks. I didn't even go to class most of the time.
How is that even possible?
I don't know. I just realized.
Just numbers or something.
Just numbers. Somebody figured it out for me and they were like, you've got this grade. If you were to fail these last three tests or whatever, you're still going to pass. And I was like, fuck it. Don't care.
Heck yeah.
Wow.
He knew how to get
by. Very bad student.
When did you decide you wanted to be an actor? Like what was like that moment?
I know people probably all have a version of this, but like I have a very specific memory. It's like I had gotten cast my freshman year of high school in Arsenic and Old Lace, which like a lot of high schools do it. And I was playing this character, Dr. Einstein, who's like the little comedic, one of the comedic relief. You know, it's a funny play in general, but like I just have a memory of like the first time I ever walked out onto stage. I say this line that was like, I don't even know what the line was. I have to look this up because that'd be a good thing to remember. But it was something like, look, Johnny, it's a good hideout or whatever it was. And I like remember the whole place laughing like so loud and being like, this is the drug. Like, this is it, baby.
It is.
Wow.
Like from that point on, and I don't know that I knew that I wanted to be an actor, but like I knew I wanted to do something in that world, you know.
Cool.
For sure.
That's a great story.
And let me just say, you have done something and you continue to like impress me and everyone. You are a writer, you are a comedian, you're an actor. I mean, you just a producer, a creator. I mean, truly, like, I feel like the hits just keep on coming and I can't wait to see.
I'm glad we get to do so many of them together.
Yeah, and more to come for sure. If people are curious to find you on the internet, can you kind of give us a shout out to where they can find you and what to look for next?
Yeah, I'm on Twitter at Luke Barnett, and that's where I'm probably the most active. And then I'm on Instagram at I am Luke Barnett. I can't talk about it. I just filmed a really, really fun role on one of my favorite shows. Like I've never even auditioned for something that I currently watch and love. And so this was like really exciting. But I don't know. I got a movie in post that I'm in called Tapawingo with John Heder that comes out soon. I think you have worked with John Heder at some point. And a movie called Tonic with Lori Petty that I did. And then mainly I've just been, aside from the show that I am working on right now, I've just basically been writing with your previous guest, Tanner.
Yes. And most importantly, you were recently on The Floor is Lava.
Oh, yeah.
Which was like, honestly, like I've seen you in so much stuff and I'm so proud of you. But like, this was like the pivotal moment in our friendship. I was so proud of you. And I was screaming and cheering. And you got to see it. It's seriously one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
To this day, one of the most fun things I've ever gotten to do. It was just like, as a kid, I think anybody who grew up in like 80s, 90s, Double Dare, Guts, Legends of the Hidden Temple sort of
Double
world.
Dare.
This was just like, it hit every 11-year-old Luke's dream to be on a show like that.
And no spoilers, but Luke jumps stomach first, folks.
The thing, to be fair, for anyone who's listening that watches Floor is Lava, the thing that you don't realize until you get out there is the material that the lava is so slick that we realized they edited it all, you know, they edited our like 40-minute situation down into 10 minutes. But when we walked out there, we had a whole plan, and that plan went to shit the minute we touched our foot to it. And we were like, this is too slick. Cause our original thought was like, we're going to land on our feet. And then you were like, if you land on your feet, you're just going to slide out from under you and like fall on your back. Yeah. And so then it went to full on. Everyone just has to jump on their stomachs. And it was a nightmare.
I'm going to rewatch it again. It's so fun. I think it's so out on Netflix.
Yeah, season 2, episode 1.
Oh, it is? Oh, I have to find it.
They were
I'll
the opener
it.
Of episode season 2, which fun. Is always a great sign.
Yeah,
so,
great.
Thank you so much.
And I love the Toyota commercials.
Oh, yeah. Luke is all over those Toyota.
I'm not kidding you. I take a photo of it. I stop it. I take a photo of it. I send it to Lisa. I'm like, look who I saw.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Man.
Toyota, bring me back, guys. I've had the job since like 2019.
Yeah, sincerely. Yeah. They like owe you a car or two at this point, I would say.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I mean, I'm happy to just let them keep helping pay my mortgage, but
yeah, sure.
Of course. I will also take a car.
Yeah. Or both.
Yeah, or both. Well, thanks so much for joining. We love you very much. And
love you guys.
See you at the Colt.
See you at the Colt. Bye.
Bye. Hey, Mom. So I joined a cult. What did you think about that?
That was frightening. Good thing I was sitting down.
Mom, this all happened in front of your eyes.
I can't believe it.
I know.
How you feeling? You still okay now?
I think I'm okay. How are you feeling about the fact that you just didn't know that was happening?
I wasn't too smart, was I?
You were very smart to just look the other way.
Yeah, maybe that
was okay.
I think so.
Well, this was super fun. Thank you guys for joining us yet again and taking the time, like we said earlier, to rate, review, comment, all the things that one does.
Yes, and be nice about it.
Be nice about it when supporting us. In fact, today we're going to shout out one of our reviews.
Ooh.
I haven't read this yet. I'm excited. Okay. Oaknob on Apple said, this is exactly my type of show. I love Lisa Schwartz and I'm so excited to hear this podcast. Her mom seems pretty cool too. Love it. Thank you. She is pretty cool. Also, if you guys head over to Instagram and TikTok, you can chat with our whole podcast crew at Human Content Pods. And like we said before, you can head over to our website, ungroundablepodcast.com, to contact us, leave a message, share your stories, all the things. There's so many ways to find us, like on YouTube. Every Monday, we give extended clips. You guys know how that all works. Like, subscribe, do the whole shebang. Also, as we mentioned before, we are on Patreon with our live Q&A coming up soon.
Ooh,
Patreon is a really fun place to be. We're offering all different levels. So if you're like, oh my gosh, I can't afford it, trust me, there are different options on there for everyone. And with it comes so many bonus things like never before seen clips, a whole other episode that we got on there. Actually, I think we might. Yeah, the sidebar with me and Jeff is up right now. It's another show that is ridiculous and crazy. There's members actively posting on there and just a lot going on. So I would love for you guys to be over there with us. Yeah. Anything else to add, Mom?
No, this is great.
This is great.
It's fantastic.
You know what? We're having the best time.
We are.
Yeah.
Let's have a cocktail.
Now it's time for a cocktail. Thank you, guys. We're your hosts, Lisa Schwartz and...
Mom
Schwartz, and special thanks to Luke Barnett for joining us today. Our executive producers are me, Lisa Schwartz, Aaron Corney, Rob Goldman, and Shanti Brooke. Our editor and engineer is Jason Portizo. Our music is by Omar Benzvi, and our theme song is performed by Leah Donovan Jones. This is Ungroundable with Lisa Schwartz, and it is a Human Content production. Hell yeah, babe. Another one down, bitch. Yeah. See you next time.
Human Content.